Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. Happy Monday afternoon. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. My special guest for this hour is the CEO of Miller Communications here in southeastern Wisconsin. Her name is Lori Richards. We're talking about the challenges and the dwindling proportions, the stagnation, the slowdown of women entering the C-suite. We can talk about the C-suite in government. Those are governors, mayors, county executives, and yes, even presidents. We have yet to see some women breakthrough on those levels, especially here in Wisconsin. We can talk about the C-suite in the private sector, the nonprofit sector. We can talk about board membership. We can go on and on. There is a significant headwind that has seemed to crop up. And Lori, in the break, we were talking about where those headwinds are coming from. Certainly, you know, they talk about sort of MAGA face for women and the fact that, like, a lot of women within the MAGA movement that are, you know, appointed and reach high levels tend to have a look about them. We're going to leave that completely aside. Mm-hmm. We can talk, I think, generically about the small target that women have, but you are talking about the confluence not just of this administration's anti-woman rhetoric and policies, but another element to these headwinds and some of the perhaps even setbacks. Tell me a little bit more about what you're seeing and hearing from your experience and other women executives.
Sure, absolutely. As we've discussed, the pipeline process to fill the pipeline to get qualified leaders, it's long, and it's not as expedient as you or I may like or would want it to be. But we have to remember, although it feels like it's really far in the rearview mirror at this point, but the whole term she session that sort of evolved yes. during COVID, a lot of women exited the workforce. They exited, they took a step back, they stayed home to navigate home life and virtual learning and all of those things that needed to be managed, maybe an aging parent. And it really left a gap in that pipeline. It's something that we see here in Milwaukee, but it's a national trend, absolutely. Now, are there a lot of things that I'm optimistic about from future generations, from the millennials, from Gen Z, that they're doing not only women and men to yes. help create some of that equity that hopefully will help us see the gains in the pipeline to start refilling? Yes, there's some things I'm really excited about, but we have to be realistic about the fact that we've taken a couple of, two steps backward, one step forward over the last handful of years.
Absolutely. And I'll just say this, women who were in top level leadership positions during COVID, and I'm going to put myself in that group, I know what a toll that took because of the challenges of COVID, of all of the things that were occurring in 2020, and then going into that election cycle. I don't care what kind of leader or what kind of organization you are trying to run, to have employees and collectively all of us under incredible psychological stress. And I don't care if you thought vaccines were the best thing or the worst thing or whatever, it was incredibly demanding. And I think one of the things that we've got brewing in the offing here is what I'm going to call the care crisis. You mentioned, you know, caring for parents, caring for siblings that may need intensive care, caring for children. There is a care crisis. We are in the precipice of watching a third, and in some counties, three quarters of child care centers disappear mm-hmm. in this state. Folks, that has a devastating impact on all businesses. It has a particularly devastating impact on women specifically, right? Paid
right.
less than men, right? You start looking at how families try to solve those care gap problems.
And if our leadership levels are still primarily populated by men, and you have a couple, a working couple, guess who's going to take a step back and take care of the family? I'm not being critical. Oftentimes it makes sense financially,
sure.
and these things are driving the decision. But there was a really great quote that came out of this study that I referenced earlier from Andrea Schneider. It was by a Nobel Prize winning economist, Claudia Golden. And I love the quote. It made me giggle. Women don't step back from work because they have rich husbands. They have rich husbands because they take a step back from work, right? So women are more likely to take a step back to facilitate things that need to happen at home. He flourishes in his career, and we're stuck in this cycle.
I can, again, speaking from my personal experience, Nearly all of my male colleagues in some of the largest law firms in the world were married. Their wives stayed home, mm-hmm. and they had someone that was helping them do, well, basically everything when you work 80 plus hours a week, which mm-hmm. I did for a long time. Mm-hmm. I had to pay people to help me. Now, again, there's some difficult and challenging dynamics there. But if you have someone who is managing every other element of your life so that you can pour yourself into work, all else being equal, that is more likely to lead to riches and vast successes than someone who doesn't have that kind of help. And I think about J.D. Vance's statements about childcare. Oh, just have your wife's parents take care. Well, what?
Oh, why didn't I think of that?
You're right. So simple. Oh, thank you, J.D. Now my childcare problem is solved. Like, it's pretty classist.
Yeah.
Too, right? Like, not everybody has parents who are able to enjoy retirement or are well enough because they were able to retire early enough and had health care such that they're well enough to take care of their kids.
Or forget your other option is maybe to just, you know, be incentivized to have more children and then, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
But very blithely, you know, when I look at indicators of what I'm going to call fairness of opportunity, like mm-hmm. the tools. And again, I'm not saying I should get a position because I'm a woman. I shouldn't be excluded from consideration because I am a woman. That is what I'm advocating for. And to get into that position to be considered for high-level positions, I need opportunities so that I can demonstrate those things that are my strengths. When we look at client development, mm-hmm. client relationship building, how books of business are passed, that is a big challenge. One of the elements that I think operates very subconsciously is that women's appearance, behavior, and leadership styles are subconsciously defined into this very, very narrow bullseye.
Yes.
That if you're outside of that, if you're too mean or too nice or not pretty but too pretty, it's this really challenging, gosh, you got to get it exactly right.
Do you talk about your family too much? You're not committed enough to your work.
Right.
You don't talk about your family at all. You're too cold.
Yes.
You're exactly right. We have a very narrow window for success here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lori, tell me about some of the things that you think we should do to help make this better, to really get to more of a meritocratic system.
It's a great question. I wish I had a silver bullet with all of the answers, but I will tell you, as I observe my team at Miller Communications, my growing team, some of the teamwork that I see among couples, right, among partners with whom are committed to, we're going to do this together, we're going to raise a family. It's not just your job, it's our job together, right? So I see a lot of teamwork and compromise happen to manage the home duties so everyone can have their focused and dedicated time at work to flourish in their job. I think a lot of the solution, we can't just be in an echo chamber, right? We can't just talk to other women and say, we need to do better. We need to work harder. We need to lean in and aspire. We need to be supported by those who have the majority of the power here. And this is the men in our lives, whether it be at work, whether it be at home, right? They're a huge part of this equation. And I continue to be really encouraged by seeing people step up and step into these roles to say, the women in my lives are the best at what they do. And I'm going to do my part to make sure they can be just as successful outside of home as I am. One of the things that we have talked about often and that I'm a big fan of is what's called the Fair Play system. Mm. This attorney out of New York went through this same conversation at home with her husband, it really kind of came up with a program to sort of manage your family work. What they always say is, you know, the mental load that women often bear in their families. And it's really this concept of ownership, right? Not that the woman is the CEO of the household and just delegates out duties, but it's, I own these duties, you own those duties, divide and conquer.
Go do.
Yes. And I think it's not revolutionary, but it's delegation just as we would do at the office applied to the home situation. And I think it can really make a difference. It's something that we've been, you know, kind of keeping an eye on. I'm hearing more people talk about it and say that they're applying it in their home lives. And I do feel like it's a potential solution to start making some more progress in these areas?
Yeah, I think there's the home-based solution, and that translates into different thinking in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I have often asked male leaders and executives to consider is, hey, if you're in a meeting, take stock, look around. Are there women in this meeting?
Yes.
Are there people of color? Mm-hmm. If not, why not? Is this creating an echo chamber?
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is fair play thinking within the workplace.
Yes.
I made a concerted effort back in my time at the county when we would have social events to try not to have all of the women in the office be the ones that were doing
planning the event.
Correct.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And doing all that extra work and trying to share that. Talk a little bit, Lori, about women cultivating male sponsors in the workplace. And also, if they're gentlemen listening and they want to be part of the solution, what are your messages for men?
Sure, absolutely. I think we've both identified that this sort of locker room culture, it's still alive and well. And that's a whole nother radio show, right? What I am hopeful and I'm seeing in other spaces as well, there's some groups like the Hone Group and like the Forward 48 Group that are creating really great integrated spaces where women and men meet in equal numbers and have real business conversations, make real business connections. Maybe it's not on the golf course, right? Maybe it's not in some of these more traditional settings, but I also feel like we need to create spaces where genders can together do the bonding that you write over a cocktail.
Yes.
Or over, because we both know that's how relationships are built.
Yep.
That is where connections are made to do business together. So we need to find and advocate for more spaces where it is truly equitable, right? It's not 80% men, 20% women, or it's just all men because women aren't allowed in the room or, you know, weren't invited to that round of golf. So I think we need to continue to look for some of those spaces as well where we can create, again, more of that social equity.
Yes, the social equity. It is all about relationships. One of the things that, you know, as you describe that, Lori, that occurs to me is just some intentionality mm-hmm. about this. I, again, have led some alumni groups and some charity boards, and the standard issue fundraiser was the golf outing. And I was like, well, let's get rid of that.
Yes.
Because some women who are big donors aren't big golfers. And just thinking about how to do things a little differently.
And as we achieve fairness and parity at home, guess what? Women can say, oh, sure, no problem. I can go from 4 to 8 p.m. on a Thursday. Things at home are managed. I'm confident that everything's taken care of. It's someone else's night. I'm in.
Yes.
Right?
I'm in for the long, quiet
yes.
dinner
yes.
that goes for hours and hours. Folks, if you're just joining us, I've got Lori Richards with me. She's the CEO of Miller Communications. We're talking about the significant headwinds that women as executives have been facing, the setbacks from COVID, the very real setbacks coming out of this administration's rhetoric about women and about women's roles, from the boardrooms to Senate seats to state houses. The conversation continues on the other side. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.